This is Haziel here and Anne, his wife, and then Elizabeth and Lydia, is that right? Yeah, who are with them. And their older son, Eli, had a band competition that was kept him up into the late hours last night, so he's going to church with his grandmother, I think, is what I heard. So this is the start of a long day of ministry for the Cantus. They will be with us for Sunday school, and then Haziel is going to preach and worship, and then at 1:30, is that right? They're going to be leading and preaching. Haziel will be leading and preaching, and his family will be helping with the service at Providence for El Buen Pastor. So we can pray for the Lord to sustain them today. Really grateful for y'all taking the time to come and visit and be with us and spend the morning with us. What a blessing it is. So a few things, just background info before I turn things over to Haziel. Haziel and I have known each other since 2014 when I transferred into the presbytery. We've become good friends over that time. Haziel was ordained in the North Texas Presbytery in 2012 and served with the church in Flower Mound for a while, and then in 2018 started El Buen Pastor, which is a church plant in our presbytery. It's a Spanish language service, and so obviously is there for people who speak Spanish in our community, which obviously, as you know, is a huge part of our Metroplex, our Spanish speakers. And we do have one other church in the presbytery, Cristo Rey, that's been around for a long time that also has a focus on Spanish speakers. So it's wonderful to have another church in our presbytery that is available for folks who are from a different cultural background than many of us, but want to follow Jesus and need all the good things that we receive here in our church. I've gotten to know Haziel through the presbytery, but also I've served on our Mission to North America Church Planting Committee for the presbytery for about 9 years now, and it's in that context that I've really spent a lot of time with Haziel as he's come and met with our committee, and we've walked with him and prayed for him and encouraged him. And the presbytery, of course, has been supporting this work since its inception in 2018. And I'm delighted that, as I mentioned in my email, as our church budget has grown, as our giving has grown, thank you for that, keep that up, we have been able to expand our budget and our giving outside of our church. It's one of our commitments of our session is that we want to give at least 10% of the revenue that we receive each year away to other works that we partner with. And mostly those works are overseas. You know, we support missionaries in places like Ukraine and Russia and Germany and Portugal and Peru and et cetera. So one of the things that we really wanted to do as we talked as a session this past year, we were setting the budget, is thinking about a local domestic church plant that we could support. We do want you to know we've been supporting church planting through the Southwest Church Planting Network. We give a big percentage, or almost 3% of our revenue each year to that work, which is a collaborative effort in the PCA to plant new churches all over the Southwest. And so that's been a financial commitment of ours, but it's more of a kind of, you know, there's no specific church that we get to partner with in that network. And so we really wanted to partner with a local church in our presbytery. It was a church plant that could use our help and our support and our prayers and our financial support, all of those things. And so we're really delighted to do that with El Buen Pastor and to establish that relationship. And so Haziel and his family coming is part of a way to kind of put him before you all so you can get to know him and his family better and hear more about this work that that you're supporting each Sunday as you give your tithes to the church. And and want to invite you, of course, to pray for Haziel and his family, and this will give you a lot of things to think about as you remember them in your prayers over in Dallas. So El Buen Pastor, as I'm sure Haziel will explain, meets in Dallas. They are currently worshiping in the sanctuary of Providence Presbyterian Church, which is a PCA church in Dallas. They worship in the afternoon at 1:30 after the main church, so to speak, has their morning activities, and they're over, and then El Buen Pastor occupies the sanctuary in the afternoon. That's been a great arrangement thus far in the church's life. With those things in mind, let me pray, and then I'm going to ask Haziel to come up. Father, thank you for the way that we are united to one another in Christ. Thank you for the presbytery that our church is a part of. I love it dearly, Father, and I'm grateful for the ministers and churches that are part of that presbytery, and I'm grateful for Haziel and for his family and for El Buen Pastor and this church that is really just a wonderful work of grace in our community. And thankful for my friend and his family, and I pray that you would be with them today as they spend several hours with us this morning and then go and minister to their own congregation this afternoon. Pray that you would give them strength and bless them. Help pray for Haziel's voice as he's going to be talking a lot today, and pray that you would sustain him and be with us now as we hear about his ministry. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Oh, great. Cards?
And over here, save all the information.
Oh, perfect. I will pass that around. So this is a sign-up sheet. I'm going to kind of hand around the sanctuary here where you can sign up for the newsletter. Haziel is a great newsletter. He's very faithful and informative in his about monthly or so, right?
Monthly
email. So put your name and email to get on that list to get those updates if you're not already.
And the business cards are, you know, my information. If you know someone who is Hispanic, we have ESL for free. We have guitar ministry for free. And we have the service for free. And in the back, say all the information. Then if you know someone, please grab one card and give it to them.
Perfect.
And that's my cell phone and my contact. Well, thank you again for praying for us. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your encouragement. It's a great blessing to be partners with you. And this is El Buen Pastor. This is the logo. El Buen Pastor means the good shepherd. When we start, we have like a core family, five core families, and I proposed different names, and they vote. Oh, well, no, we were like eight families, and they vote for El Buen Pastor. And one of my friends helped me to do the logo. Those are Hispanic colors, and you see the lamb. The lamb is under, is in the cross. You see it because we see Christ dying on the cross, but at the same time, he's the good shepherd, but he's the shepherd, the sheep who died for us. If we can go to the next one, Chris. I don't know, do I need to? Okay. Yeah, we have eight different countries so far that are members or are really regular attenders or are in the process of the membership class. Venezuela, Cuba, Mexico, Peru, El Salvador, United States, Puerto Rico, and Honduras. I guess I mixed Honduras and El Salvador. These are for now. I'm pretty sure it's going to grow. But yeah, these are the families that we have in the church. And it's a great blessing to see how the gospel, how Jesus Christ unites all these nations. People ask me, are there conflicts between the Central America, that they are better, or Mexico is better, or all these situations. But I'm like, praise God, no, because I always preach about Christ unite us. Christ is the center of the worship. It's not our nation. I'm from Mexico, but I never mention any comment in my sermons about Mexico. Or we have soccer team. I never mention about the soccer team, anything like that, because then, you know, we'll be fighting. But, you know, it's all about Christ, and praise God, the Central Americans can work together because they can see as families. Even the South American, the same, they can see as families. And it is a great blessing to see how Christ is uniting all these nations, and we are a big family. The number is, on paper, we have more than 130 plus people, but Sunday is 60 plus average, and we're praying to have 80 plus average for Sunday. That's our prayer. But praise God, last two Sundays we have more than 100 people attending church. Then God is working, and our sanctuary is like 300 or 400 chairs. Then I will say, guys, we have so much room to fill. We need to invite more people, and we need to pray more for more people come to Christ. And if we can go to the next one, please. And then I will talk more about the outreach ministry that we have. We have so many outreach ministries. And if you have a question, please raise your hand. This more like so you know us and we can explain what do we do. Chris? We have one of the big ministries is the guitar ministry. We have like 15, 16 kids in this ministry, and most of the kids do not come to church because we want to reach out the community. These kids do not participate in the church. They only come on the Christmas because we are practicing right now the Christmas caroling, and they will come to church and they will play at church. And that's when their parents listen the gospel. And the kids listen the gospel because we have a devotional. Every class, at the end of the class, we have a devotional. Praise God, they have two teachers that have been faithful helping me. And that's why when I travel, the two teachers are taking care of the kids. And great teachers, Christian brothers. One is from Cristo Rey Presbyterian Church, and the other one is from New St. Peter. They come, they help, and we ministry the kids. The most of the kids, they don't come to church, but we have a family who they start attending church thanks to the guitar ministry. They start attending, and the kids, the mom and husband, and even they're in the membership class. And because we asked all these questions on membership class, they are not married, but they will put a date so I can marry them, and they become members of El Buen Pastor. Then, you know, we see light on these ministries. Takes time, but God is faithful and is helping us. The next one. And then the last year, Christmas, we have a Christmas party, and the whole kids come play, and I'm able to share the gospel. And you don't see that, you know, we don't take the picture, but was packed, the whole room. This is the Marcos Recreation Center where we meet for the ministries. Praise God, we have a good relationship. We start meeting, the church start meeting in Marcos Recreation Center, but because of COVID, they closed for 2 years, and we moved to Providence. But we have really good relationship. We have the Christmas party. We will have a big event this Thursday to promote El Buen Pastor. God has been using this ministry or this rec center, so we are able to pray for the kids, share the gospel, and have a devotional. Next one, Chris. And then you see James Heron, one of your members, he's here. He helped us on the ESL program. ESL we have every Monday, and every Monday he's faithful. And again, when I travel, he takes care of the class, and we have a devotional. We're studying the book of Colossians with the ESL students, they're learning. Again, the students doesn't come to church, but that's part of the ministry. Like, we want to impact and help other students, other people, so they can hear the news, and hopefully, with time, they can become or be part of the congregation. Next, please. Oh, this is a big event, and we're having it this Thursday. Marcos Recreation Center, they have a Tricky Trick event. If you want to put the other one, so they can see, it's packed, and we give flyers, we give Bibles, and, you know, it's when we met so much people. We give like 300 flyers. They don't come, but at least they have the info, because on the flyer, I guess I have it in the car, the flyer. I will try to show it during the preaching. But it's the information in the front of who we are. And then in the back, it's the salvation, plan of salvation, where who are we? Like, we need Jesus Christ. We're sinners. Or the condition is the condition of man. And then who is Christ? And then another passage, what we need to do. And only who are the sons of God? Because in the Hispanic community, they always think all the ways take you to Christ. Everybody's son of God, and, you know, I use John 1:12, like, that, you know, we are creation of God, but only the ones who accept Christ are the sons of God. And, you know, it's really simple, but they take those flyers at home. And I pray that at least they can read it. And they have my information. They have the information of the church. And at least we, you know, it's a great event. We have so many people. We are able to pray, to talk, and make connections. And these connections takes time. It's not, you know, you make a connection. They say, I will go to your church. You see them. And sometimes pass like 3 or 5 months, and they give me a call when they have a crisis, and we're there to pray for them, visit them, and talk to them. The next picture, Chris. Oh, and we have teenagers, and every year we are able to bless Casa del Lago. Casa del Lago is a nonprofit organization, a Christian organization, and we help them with their BBS. The BBS is like 2 months, and we grab 1 week of those 2 months, and we help with the kids. And again, you know, we teach our kids to be able to serve the community, and that's the picture. You know, we are helping, playing soccer, reading the Bible, you know, having stories with them, and it's a great way to connect and give, again, business cards or flyers to the parents of those kids, because more or less they have like 90 kids or 100 kids on the BBS. And instead doing us a BBS, we connect to them and we only come and serve. And it's much, much easier and better. Next, Chris, please. And another reach out. Again, Casa del Lago have 100 students, ESL students. And when I go teach the Bible, James Tay, with our ESL students, and he teaches the ESL and the Bible, and that's another way, you know, to have a devotional with the students. And we have like 2 families, but you see like 100 students, only 2 families that are attending the church. But it's good, you know, at least we're sharing the gospel wherever we can do, wherever we can make partnership, and God will bring the people. But it's a great blessing. One of those Sundays, I shared the gospel, and the majority accept Christ. But then I encourage them, guys, you need to be connected to a church, because that's the beginning of Christian life. You accept Christ, but that's the beginning. It's, you need to, you know, read the Bible, have fellowship with other believers, and be a member of a church, you know, participate with the church. But that's another outreach program that I try to do. Like I go per semester like 4 or 5 times per semester with this ministry, Casa del Lago. And that's really close. It's there in the next corner of our church. Then it's really close. They meet in the nights and the mornings during the week. And I encourage them, guys, you already drive here on Sundays. Try to come and drive to the church. Not yet, but hey, we're praying for that. Next, Chris. And on August, I was teaching how to share your faith to the congregation. All the month of August, we were practicing. We were telling them what verses of the Bible, how to use the Bible. And then on September, we went to the park. The rec center is on the back. If you see the building, that's the rec center. And it's a big park around the rec center, and we bought T-shirts, orange T-shirts that say One Pastor on the front, and then we went with the flyers, and we went to the whole park. They were playing soccer. They were playing, the kids, and we divide 2 and 2, and we went, shared the gospel, and kids came to Christ, parents came to Christ, and we give the information. Again, they have not come, but at least the seat is over there, and they have our information. And these are the activities that, as a church, we do. I guess I have more. Next, Chris. Oh, yeah. This is a big one. Boxes of Blessing. Park Cities, on December, the first week of December, they put together boxes with food, pantry. And, you know, we pack it. I guess we packed 10,000. I don't know. It's a big number. But I only asked for 250. Then those 250 boxes, we again mark recreation center. We put on the parking lot, and it's a drive-through. We give the box, we give a flyer, and we pray. They cannot go without prayer. We go pray, like, how can we pray for you? Your family, your kids, your health. You cannot go if we don't pray for you. And then, you know, we stop all the cars, 100 cars, I don't know how many, 150, 160 cars come. And we pray for each car, and we give the flyer. This is a big event that we will have on December. This is a big event. And then the previous one is going to be this week, the Tricky Trick, that event that they have is going to be this Thursday. So you can be praying. We will be giving flyers, and we will be praying for our community. And those are the big events that we have as an outreach. And I guess we have another one, Chris. Oh, yeah, and as Hispanics, they love fellowship. And I try to have it once a month. Sometimes too much, and I skip it. Depends how is that month. But we try to have fellowship on the Good Friday service. We normally have it in a house, and we have fellowship. People bring food. We share food. And on the bottom picture is that it's at the church. And we have, like, celebration, like a birthday celebration, and people bring food, and we share with one another, because that's a key, the fellowship for the Hispanic community. Questions before we go to the next one? Any questions or comments? I'm talking too much, and my wife said, you're preaching. I'm sorry about that. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good question. We provide the guitar. I'm a member of the Rotary Club, again, connecting to a community. And the Rotary Club donates 16 guitars to the ministry. We borrow. We have a contract that we make to the parents, and they borrow the guitar. They have a guitar for the semester. And when they are leaving, they need to give back the guitar. The kids ask me, can I keep it? Like, no. If you keep it, you stay. But if you leave, you know, we go back. But yeah, we provide a guitar. And we have some parents that come to the ministry, but I ask to the parents that they need to bring their own guitar because the guitars are smaller for the kids. Great question. Another question, guys, or comments? I guess we can go to the next flyer. I don't know how many flyers I have. Oh, yeah, we have Bible studies. We have it at home, the Bible study, and we have it. We have a church. The picture from above is a church, and the bottom one is at home. We try to, again, the fellowship, sometimes they like it more home, and some people like it more church. And I you know, during the semester, school semester, we do it at church, and on vacations, we do it at homes. Yeah. At church during the semester, and at homes during vacation. And we are studying other religions. Right now we're studying other religions because they have been having so many questions, because the Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses are coming to their door. And we're studying not only those two religions. We're studying Muslims, Hinduism, we're studying all the religions. But the focus on the Bible study is Jesus Christ. I'm teaching you who is Jesus Christ, how we can find it in the Bible, so they can talk about Christ. Because some religions say that it's an angel, that Satan was brother with Jesus because there was an angel. Or some other religions say that he was the first creation of God, but then with John 1:1, you destroy those comments that they have. But again, we're studying Jesus Christ, and we are, you know, reviewing the other religions so they can share their faith. And that's this semester, studying Jesus Christ, so they are able to share the gospel when they knock in their door or when they talk about that, about them. You know, and a good example, my kids have a lot of Mormons and Jehovah's Witness friends at their school. And it's a good way. The Mormons doesn't like that you call them Mormon, they like it to call the seven, or what is that, the name? I forget the name in English. Yes. That one. They don't like that you call them Mormons. But they read the Book of Mormon and, you know. But that's why we study Christ, and then they can, they can defend their faith, who is Jesus Christ. And that's what we have been doing this semester. I guess we have another one. Let me see. Yeah. Oh, and this at El Buen Pastor, what is the Buen Pastor service? We have the kids ministry. We have the kids, but it's in English. The lesson that we give to the kids is in English, and we have helpers. And the helpers, sometimes it's my daughter or my son or other kids of the church, and they can translate for the kids that doesn't speak English. But mainly the teachers are English speakers, and then the helpers will translate because we have kids that doesn't speak English, the little ones especially, but the older ones, all of them speak English. But that's, you know, we have the service, and then during the service, 4 to 10, they go to the class. We can go to the next one, Chris. And then we pray for the families. At the end, we pray for 6 families. And at the end, you know, at the end we come, we ask for these 6 families to come. They're on the bulletin, so we can be praying during the week for these families. And I've been asking to other families to come. Maybe it's not the week of that family, but they are really tough during the week or it's a tough situation. We ask them, if you want to come, pray for you guys at the end, please come and pray. That's at the end of the service. The next, Chris. And this is El Buen Pastor. Most of the families, not all, as you know, not every Sunday come, but this is a good, you know, more or less Sunday, good Sunday with all the families. And these are the families. I guess that's the last one. No, I have another one. I have another picture. Yeah, I guess I have 2 more. This is another big event that we do. And again, the big event is going to be this weekend, so you can be praying. We don't have retreats. We don't have camps to go as a church, but we have a conference. Every year we have a conference with the Hispanic Leadership Initiative. We invite Cristo Ruey, and we invite El Buen Pastor. Really, El Buen Pastor is doing it with HLI, and we invite the other PCA church that is in the DFW area. And we invite all the ministries, people from the ministries, we invite them to this conference. This is the 3rd year. We have picture of one of the years and, you know, our picture of the other year. This year I'm really excited. A friend from Philadelphia, who is the director of the Hispanic Initiative from Westminster, he's coming. He's going to teach one of the seminars. Juan Carlos, he's in Woodlands Church Planting, PCA, is coming. And I will be teaching. And Jose Portillo, the director of HLI, is coming too. And even a pastor from Bolivia and his son is coming. I went last month to Bolivia to Westminster Conference. And you know, we get in contact and he said, I would want to come to the conference. Like, yeah, by all means. And it's going to be, this is one of the big events that we have. Then this week is so busy. And PCPC have the mission conference this weekend, and we're going to. Then, you know, pray for us for sustain. And my son, tomorrow is his birthday, and Elizabeth's birthday is on Thursday. Then, you know, we have full hands this week, so you can be praying. But, yeah, I'm really excited about this conference. We have the materials. We always give a Spanish book of anxiety, or, you know, we have so many things that we give to the people who is coming, and pray that will be a great blessing, and that we can have people, that people can know Christ through this conference. I guess we have another one. Yeah, last month I went to Bolivia with Westminster, and I normally go travel once a year, or maybe twice a year, to teach pastors. Next year, in January, we will be going to San Pablo. It's in Yucatan. We're going to be teaching to pastors, so you can be praying. You know, we have a lot of events, a lot of things, but God is good, and we see God's hand, and praise God, we see people coming to Christ. We have the majority, like the 90% or 95% of the people are new believers, and pray for us and pray for them, because they just know Christ. They never open the Bible, and that's why I say, you know, God is working us. I don't know the time, brother.
That's it. Can I just ask you some
yes,
questions?
Yes, absolutely.
And do a yeah, little. Yeah. Haziel, tell us a little bit about where do the folks come from that are coming to the church? Are they mostly in that Dallas area? Are they coming from all over the Metroplex?
80% will be from that area, but 20% we have from Mesquite, we have from Louisville, Flower Mound, Fort Worth, you know, you name it.
Yeah.
It's like 20% is like spread out.
And give us a little bit of sense of some of the demographics. Like, what are most people here in the last, you know, 5-10 years, or people that
yeah,
have grown up in the States? Or
yeah,
they,
the majority is like in the 5 years,
mm-hmm,
5 years to 7 max.
Right.
You know, when we start, one pastor family just arrived with a special visa, or they just arrived with, you know, tourist visa.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you know, they are really new to DFW, you know, to United States.
Yeah. And tell us about the religious backgrounds or these people
yeah,
are coming from.
Yeah, yeah. The religion backgrounds is more like Catholic, nominal Catholic, but they, you know, it's really nominal. They never attend, they never read the Bible. You know, they know that God, that grandma was telling them,
yeah,
but really, that's it. They don't have a background. The 95%, only like 5% come from maybe Christian background, and it's like Pentecostal background,
mm-hmm,
the 5%. Mm-hmm. Because I want really new believers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want like, oh, we do this in my church, or we do that. Like, hey, if you are happy in your church, please, you can stay in your church. You know, we don't want to steal anyone. Yeah.
So a lot of folks are coming who did not grow up Christian, did not
yeah,
grow up practicing, at least in terms of their faith, that
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's the 98% really high.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Tell us, give us a sense of some of the demographics. What are some of the kind of work that people do that are part of the church, that kind of thing?
Yeah, again, I guess the 85% hard workers, construction, cleaning, restaurants, waitress, and then I guess 18% will be, they have their own companies.
Hmm.
20% they have their own companies, handyman company or landscaping company. And then we have a small, but it's growing by God's grace, professional guys that they work, you know, they have visa work visa in companies, or one family who become is going to become member. She's doing her PhD in chemistry,
mm-hmm,
and you know, the gospel is attracting the people.
Yeah.
I only preach the gospel and pray, and they're coming. You
is
know,
there,
by God's
is
grace.
There any country of origin that is most predominant in the church in terms of where they come from before
yeah,
they get to the States?
You know, I guess will be Mexico, but not really. You know, it's growing. Central America and South America is growing. That Mexico is, you know, it's not really the, maybe it will be the majority right now, but, you know, it's,
yeah,
yeah, it's not anymore.
And in terms of adults in the church, how many of them are fluent English speakers, percentage-wise?
Maybe help me on that one. It's, maybe 20.
A small number.
Yeah.
So mostly exclusively Spanish speakers. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure the children are.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah, that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Tell us about your worship service. What does it look like? How do you just walk us through a normal worship service?
I know the bulletin. Even I guess I have a bulletin over there, you know, so I can show it to them in my back. The bulletin, you know, I put normally a phrase of Paul Tripp or Paulson or one of the reformers, so we can, you know, warm up. Oh, there you go, my notes. Yeah, I don't know if you can see it, but over here in the top is Paul Tripp. Today's Paul Tripp. But normally I use a phrase or a comment from one of the connecting to the sermon so that people can start warming up, you know, start thinking about maybe holiness or about service or about love or sacrifice, you know, start thinking, it's connected. I explain a little bit this. Oh, no, but first I give the announcements, actually. First is the announcement during the week, what's going to happen, and then go through here so they can prepare their minds and hearts. And then after that, we have the call of worship. We go to the call of worship. One of the guys helped me to lead the call of worship, and then I have the prayer to start the service. And then we're going to the Heidelberg Catechism. We study one question per week so that guys can, you know, go through these questions because it's good to go through the Bible or through the Catechism with the Bible. And every week I teach a question. Right now we finish Westminster Confession of Faith, the short one. We just finished it, and now we are in the question 12. Of Heidelberg, and then we have the Confession of Faith. As congregation, we have the Confession of Faith, a prayer of Confession of Faith, and then we have the time so they confess their sins individually. We confess it as congregation, then individually, and then after that we have the songs, worship songs. We have like three normally, and then we have the peace of the Lord, so everybody can give the peace to one another and say hi to the visitors or new people. And then we have the sermon. And then after the sermon, we have communion. We celebrate communion every Sunday, like you guys. And we have the last song, and that's it. And we pray. We pray at the end for the families, and that's.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah.
That's great. There's a question over there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. You know, by God's grace, in Mexico, I grew up Presbyterian. It's a really small percentage. I'm in the 0.001, to be honest. My parents helped to church plant the church where I grew up. And this year or next year is going to celebrate 50th anniversary, and they asked me to go and preach and give a conference. And I grew up Presbyterian, and then I was an engineer. I resigned. Westminster gave me full scholarship. I came when Westminster was in Dallas, and I met Pablo in Westminster, Dallas. And my intention was to go back, and I was signing every year with Westminster that I need to go back. And I'm like, I want to go back. But then God changed that, and it's been 20 years now since I stay here. That's why, but PCA, you know, I was even looking for a Presbyterian church, but not PCUSA, but the conservative PCA. And God made the connections. And before I came to seminary, I was helping Cristo Rey. I was doing my internship, and I was 7.5 years in Cristo Rey, a PCA church planter. But was God's grace, you know.
How did you and Ann meet?
MTW conference 2007. She came to Dallas to work for IBM, and I came from seminary, and we arrived the same month, but we all met until 2007, and we met in Atlanta. You know, it's like, but we have so many good friends in common. Trinity, she was in the missions committees working in Trinity. We have so many friends. She was planning to go to Germany to be a missionary, but then God closed that door, and we are here, and we have three kids. I guess I don't put a picture of the kids. Yeah, Pablo.
Asiel, can you say something about how your people have been affected or not by the wider cultural fight that we have over immigration?
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. And again, I was focused on the gospel and on Christ because anxiety and fear will be the first two that come, and I meet with people, especially that are really exciting, really fear, and I explain, you know, who we are in Jesus Christ and our identity in Jesus Christ. Like, doesn't matter how this will be affect you, your identity is in Jesus Christ and not on what's going on. And of course, I say you need to be careful. You know, you need to be careful doing this or doing that. I try to, you know, so they can obey as much as they can the law, and their identity. And that's why the conference is our identity in Christ. And we're going to talk about anxiety and fear because those two are really big. But at the end of the day is our identity in Jesus Christ. And praise God, they have been fine. I have a lawyer, an immigration lawyer that is a good friend of mine, and I talk to her like once a month, sometimes every week, to see what's going on, what we can do, you know, to follow the rules. You know, we don't want to break the rules. We are Christians, and we want to follow as much as they can in some context. But yeah, I always preach our identity because at the end of the day, if you stay, if you go, or something happen, you know, Christ is not going to change, and we have peace and comfort. And that's, it's been my focus because, you know, sometimes they call me lawyer. I'm like, no, I'm a pastor. Doctor, no, I'm a pastor. And they put me all these titles that I'm, guys, I'm a pastor. I'm not police or anything like that, you know. But I try to always point them to Christ, especially in these events. And yeah, I try to talk more to the officers and lawyers so I can, you know, I can give the right answer or the correct answer, not what I'm thinking. But yeah, great question, Paul. Yeah, thank you.
There's a question there from Joe.
Oh, yes.
I don't know if I missed this, but when was your church established?
2018. We started with the ESL program. It was a big ESL program. We have 80 plus students, and we have a little devotional, like 10 minutes of devotional at the end. And on December, we start with the worship service, small worship service. After the ESL was a big number, was really big, but then COVID hit and we closed down the ESL program in the church and we started meeting in the park.
Yeah, you met outside for a while, right?
Yeah, yeah, like for 3 months because everything was closed, even the church. They were doing more like video and
right.
And then they only meet like few people and
yeah.
And yeah, but we were in the park and like, whoever wants to come, please come. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yeah, great question. We have prayer time, 7:30 to 8:30, Monday to Saturday, through phone. We have a conference number, special conference number, and people can connect. And then we have... on Sundays, a Bible studies or Sunday school for women. We have a woman Bible studies. And soon we will have one for woman, one for men, because on Wednesday is the whole family. But right now it's been for woman. Then God is providing a good brother that he's going to help me on the, you know, Bible studies for men, and at the end of the service, we pray for the high schoolers or the kids, you know, the teenagers. We pray, we meet at the end, the teenagers meet with one of the girls who is helping with the kids, and she write the prayer request, and we pray for the teenagers. Yeah, those are the...
Hazio, would you give us just a few kind of bullet points of how we can pray for you and your family?
Yeah.
And your church?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you can pray for spiritual protection. We feel that Satan is not happy that we bring in people to Christ. And that's a, you know, we're in the middle of a spiritual fight. And, you know, you can pray for a spiritual protection for us. The second is for the people that they can grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because they really are new believers. We're giving boxes of Bibles every year because they never have a Bible.
Yeah.
And even I have a Bible, I guess, no, in the car. For a girl, you know, Thursday, a family, like, let me call you, like, 20 seconds. I will not be fast.
Sure, you're fine.
Thursday, on Monday, one of the kids called me, Pastor, can you come to my house, because we have been listening noises. We have been listening, it's like my sister is listening, like somebody's breathing and it's nobody at home. And then the dad called me and I, I will go with one good friend and say, yeah, let's go. And we were praying, my friend, me, we're praying, you know, because I called him, hey, we're going to this house and we will pray for this house, and there's something in this house, you know, it's demonic presence because nobody's there, and noises and and throwing things and all the stuff, and we were praying and we went, and right away the daughter doesn't want to see me. The one who was listening all these noises, she doesn't want to see me, but I go give a hug, we are here and we're going to pray. And then, you know, we have cotton, we put oil and we start praying. And each time that I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are leaving, you are getting out from this house, the daughter run away outside the house and start throwing up. And then she come out, she come again, and I say again, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are getting out. And again, she was going, like, every time that I say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, you are getting out, she go out. And we pray for each room, and then at the end, we pray for her. And she, yeah, she accepted Christ, and she was telling us that,
she,
you know.
She accepted Christ, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
She accepted Christ, and she was telling us that when we were praying, she felt her body, like, on fire, and she was having all these, you know, situations on her, and that her, you know, her head was really heavy. She wants to say, stop, don't do that anymore, but she wasn't able to talk, and we continue praying, praying for her, and yeah, praise God, you know, we are fighting against the enemy. And she was like a different woman after she accepted Christ. After we prayed for her, she was like docile, she was looking at my eyes, and she said, like, when you came, I don't want that you came, you know, to me and my friend. And yeah, those are the battles that we have. At El Buen Pastor, people coming to Christ, and you see all these things like demons, presence, and yeah, that's why you need to be praying for us.
Let me ask you this. If a person in our church wanted to get involved, like Jim is already, what are some ways that people can participate in the ministry of El Buen Pastor? What are some opportunities?
You know, we have the guitar ministry, we have the ESL ministry, and we have the kids ministry. We always have. And it's in English. We give them.
And that's on Sunday afternoons, right?
Sunday afternoon, if you arrive like 1:20, 1:10, so, you know, so you can see it set up. And it's in English. And the kids, most of the kids.
So someone
English.
Could come to church here, worship, and then go in the afternoon and serve at El Buen Pastor. They can do that once a month or once every
once
other month.
Once a month or once every 2 months or once every 3 months.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know, because you are doing missions. For even not taking the plane, we're doing missions here, guys, and we have all these countries already. Yeah.
That's right. That's perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, you can be praying for that, you know, spiritual protection for the people that they can grow, and for sustain for my family and me, because it's like, you know, busy every week. And hopefully we'll, after this, it's going to be better. But, you know, these are the busiest weeks.
Yes,
of
absolutely,
the year.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's pray for you. Let's have Ben and Lauren and Jeff, if y'all will come up, and Ann and the kids, if y'all would come up, that'd be great. Let's surround this family and pray for the Lord to bless them. I hope you can see why we're excited about our partnership with El Buen Pastor and the kindness of God, the work that he's doing there, significance of it. Let's lay hands on these people and let me pray for them. Father, we're thankful for Haziel and for Ann and for their family. Thank you for Eli and for Elizabeth and Lydia. Thank you, Father, for our friendship and the fellowship that we already share through Christ and through this presbytery that we're a part of. And thank you for the blessing of being a sister church to El Buen Pastor. Father, we pray for this family that you would surround them and protect them as they walk day by day in the way of Jesus, as they seek faithfully to minister. Pray for that for Haziel and his ministry at El Buen Pastor, that you would give him great wisdom, that you would give him grace, that you would help him as he navigates the different challenges that are facing his congregation. And we do pray, Father, for those members of his church who are understandably anxious and afraid about what is going on and what the future might hold for them. We pray that you would surround them and give them a clear identity, or idea of their identity in Christ, as Haziel has said. Father, I pray that you would bless my friend as he preaches week by week, as he carries the loads of ministry, as he visits and does pastoral care for the families in his church. Father, may you bless him and protect him, and may there be many, many more who come to El Buen Pastor to hear the good news of Jesus. And Father, I pray for Anne. Thank you for her partnership in this ministry and for the work that she does, and that you would bless her each day, Father, and keep her safe. I pray for the children as they work their way through their schooling right now, that you would be with them, that you'd watch over them in their studies, that you would bless them as they are part of this a beautiful church, that you would give them each a strong sense of your love for them and their life with Jesus. Father, pray for provision for El Buen Pastor, for the financial needs of this work, that you would continue to provide for it, Father, even through partly through our church and our partnership with them, and pray for more churches to partner with El Buen Pastor. I pray, Father, for more leaders in the church, that you would raise up officers for this church. You would raise up other pastors that would come and join the work that Haziel has started. Father, what a unique ministry they have, and I pray that you would build it. Thank you for all the ways that Haziel is connected to the larger church, especially Hispanic ministry in our nation and even in other parts of the world. I pray that you would bless him in those endeavors as well. And we pray all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.